We're Free FM, 106.7 WJFK. No restrictions, no barriers, no bull. Just free, free, free. Washington's Free FM, free, 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 free. 106.7 WJFK.
Mayo, this is Ben Gillette. I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada right now, sitting across from Michael Goudeau. We're on Free FM, 866-313-FREE, that's 3733. You know, I guess we finally got to address this. It's been around a day or so in the news, but now it's time to really get to it. This psychologist is to be a mother at 63 years old. In London, a 63-year-old British hospital consultant is said to become one of the world's oldest mothers after undergoing fertility treatment. The Italian doctor who treated her said Thursday. This is international. There's an Italian doctor. She's British. Her name is Patricia Rashbrook. That's an English name. A child psychologist from Lewes. I don't know how you pronounce that. L-E-W-E-S. It's in England. Who cares? They're all drunk with bad teeth. Was given in vitro fertilization, that's IVF treatment, last October, and it took. This is a donated egg. So genetically, it will not be her baby, but she will carry the baby to term. And she will, I mean, we hope she'll carry her baby to term. And then they will have a son or a daughter. We don't know. I guess they haven't determined the sex yet. And I guess the father is the biological father. And man, the news, all the news stuff.
The outcry.
It's an outcry of just outrage.
Stop her.
That a woman this age would have a baby. 866-313-FREE-3733. Penradio@gmail.com. Penradio.com. That's PENNRADIO at gmail.com. 866-313-FREE. I guess in terms of full disclosure, before we start taking calls, I should point out that I'm 51 years old, and my daughter is less than a year old, and we have another child on the way, and my wife is 40. Which is, I can do this math in my head, I bet. That is 13 years. 23 years. 23
years.
Do
you want to do the math in my head?
Yeah, I'll do the math in your head.
23. Yeah, you move your lips, I'll say the number.
And I am only...
51.
Right, but I'm... 12 years.
12 years. Oh, sorry.
12 years younger than this woman, this psychologist, Patricia. And we had our first baby when I was 50. I was 50, yeah. So, you know, when my daughter is my age, I'll be 102 years old. And certainly by that time, we will have, flying cars.
Yeah.
Yeah. We will have world peace, and we'll have a...
speaking monkeys.
Speaking monkeys, and we'll have a song to replace Stairway to Heaven for 12-year-old boys to listen to. We'll have all that. And I believe the next contract for Penn and Teller Thurio will take us to...
to your 102.
Till I'm 102.
Congratulations on that.
That's how old I will be when Moxie is my age. And there's this real outcry, you know, and I'm really... I have strong feelings about this. Because a lot of people in some of these articles, several of the articles, talk about the embarrassment...
Well, how irresponsible of her... to be 63 and want a child.
Well, you know, there
she's
seems
evil.
To be...
I think she's just evil.
There seems to be this feeling that all sorts of... If you're a third world living in poverty and you want to have a baby, or if you are old and want to have a baby with IVF, it seems like a lot of people will just jump all over you for that very desire. And I think that wanting to have a baby is a really strong urge. I mean, I have a lot of friends, very, very good friends, who have chosen not to have kids. And are very happy and fulfilled, and that's their full life. And I mean no disrespect toward them. But at the same time, there is a certain biological imperative. The one thing that all our ancestors have in common, all of them, back to the protozoa, back to our little lizard brains, is all of them reproduced. So that has to be a strong, strong feeling. And, you know, in this, when life expectancy is, what, knocking on 90, right?
Yeah.
When life expectancy is knocking on 90, It's not, I mean, when people were having kids at 16, 17, the life expectancy was like 24, 25, 26. So, I don't know. I don't know what is so terrible about this. I had older parents. I'll talk about that some. But we got a phone call.
We do.
I take a phone call. 866-313-FREE, 3733. Who are you on the phone, Mr. Goodell?
We got Jay on line two. How about it, Jay? You there?
Hey there, Jay. How are you guys? How are you today, boss?
I'm pretty good. How are you guys doing out there?
Doing wonderfully, thank you. What's up?
Cool. I just think it's a little ridiculous. I mean, with all the children that can be easily adopted throughout the world, I mean, why is this woman, 63 years old, insisting on having a child?
Well, you know, she is choosing to carry the child because it is a donor egg. So it's not some sort of ego thing that has to be genetically related to her. And they certainly could use her husband's donated sperm. They seem to have enough money that they could have had a surrogate. So part of it is carrying it. And it seems to be pretty... So you're saying that once you're that old, you should not even consider carrying a baby. You should rather adopt. Is that your point?
That's exactly my point, yeah.
Why is that? Because, you know, my mom was 45 when I was born, and I found that older parents were terrific for me. They seemed to be very attentive and wonderful, and they were at a time in their life when they were kind of done fighting and done with their own problems. What would the cutoff be for you for raising a kid, would you think?
Probably, yeah, like around 40, 45. That's the max. I mean, I think at 63, that's just a little...
So I'm 51, so you actually take issue with me having a kid?
Well, you're a guy. It's a different story. I mean, you know, there's definitely a double standard, I think, with it. But as far as a woman's body and stuff at that age...
So yeah. Your problem is not with the woman raising the children at that age. Your problem is with the actual maybe diabetes, you know...
Some of the medical risks.
Gestation diabetes,
yeah, sure.
Go way up, all sorts of stuff. So it's strictly the medical dangers to her and to the baby? Is that what you're talking about? Or is there anything to do with raising the kid?
Yeah, because they say, what, 1 in 3, you know, pregnancies don't make it to full term, and that's with, like, a standard, you know, well, not standard, but a girl that's between the ages of, what, 18 and 30? So how's she going to manage at 63?
Yeah, it does change that way. I am of the opinion that anything that science can do to make our lives more fulfilling and richer and to fulfill our needs is a really, really good thing. And my thinking is if she has a huge desire to raise a baby and to carry the baby, maybe that amount of love should be respected. The fact that desire is so great. Because there are many people who get pregnant at 18 when their bodies are really healthy and really ready to give birth that may not have, I mean, I'm never going to diminish the love that anyone has for their child, but may not have, let's say, the obsession that may carry her through. There may be something really beautiful that we're denying. Because, yes, health is an issue. There's no doubt about it. But there's also a beauty of one's heart being so big as to want to have a child that badly.
Right. Well, let's just hope she doesn't breastfeed.
Or at least you don't want to see pictures. Is that your point? Thanks
right,
so
guys.
Much for calling, man. Thanks so much. Thanks so much. 866-313-FREE.
They did not cover that in the shock absorber.
No, they did not. There's not a website. There's not a website for that. You know, this is one of these subjects that, as we take calls on this, I'm going to be a little bit defensive because when I was a kid, I was asked all the time if I was being raised by my grandparents because my mother was 45 when I was born. My dad was 43, and I was always expecting the Jack Nicholson surprise. You know about Jack Nicholson, right?
No, I don't.
You don't
what
know this?
This?
When Jack Nicholson was 37 years old, when Chinatown was about to come out, he was doing an interview for some magazine. I don't know if it was Esquire or GQ, but one of those. And the interviewer said, not even knowing it, how was it to be raised by your grandmother and have the woman that you thought was your sister actually be your mother? And Jack Nicholson just, the guy didn't even know he was laying this on him. And they did genetic testing. Both his mother and his sister were dead. And his mother and his sister turned out to be his grandmother and his mother, respectively. And Jack Nicholson got that laid on him at 37 years old. And I remember reading about that when Chinatown came out. My sister was 23 when I was born. There were no kids between us. So I said, whoa, have I got a, you know, have I got a Jack Nicholson surprise? And Bobby Darin had the same situation. So, When you have a sister that's old enough to be your mother,
right.
you tend to seek out these stories. So I perhaps know more about Bobby Darin and Jack Nicholson's maternal situation than I should. Let's take another phone call. 866-313-FREE.
We're going to talk to Trevor online.
But you know, there are pictures of my mom pregnant in maternity.
Yeah, sure there are.
In the days before Photoshop.
Yeah, does it look like she has Photoshop. A felt pin outline?
Who got on the phone?
Line four. Let's talk to Trevor on line
hey,
four.
Hey, Trevor. What's up, man?
Hey, Penn. Hey, Mike. How y'all doing, man?
We're great.
Never been better, boss.
I was just listening, and I disagree with the first guy. I believe that if anybody wants to have a kid, I don't care if they're 160, man, let them do it, man. We live in a world with so little love that if somebody wants to, you know, carry a child, man, let them do it.
Let me ask you something. Are you expecting me to argue with you? What kind of crazy person are you to call with something sensible? We're trying to do a radio show here. If you call and talk about love and beauty and letting people have freedom, how the hell am I going to rip you apart? Thanks
I'm
a lot.
Sorry, Ken. I just look up to you so much, man. I'm trying to impress you.
I couldn't agree more, man. I mean, not with that part, but I mean, exactly. I really believe that it all comes down to love and people loving their kids, no matter what age they are. So thanks a lot for calling, man. It's really beautiful. You know, you get calls like that. You just, you know, everybody always complains that complete and utter, crazy, evil, whack jobs call in radio shows. And we've been doing this show for over 3 months now. Where are the crazy, evil people? We seem to get really sensible, sweet.
Are you inviting the crazy, easy people to call us? If you're crazy and evil, call in to 866-313 Lost.
866-313-FREE. That's 3733. PennRadio@gmail.com. Happy Jack. See what I did? Happy Jack just got on the phone. He's going to call in. If we want crazy and evil,
we have plenty of fine people calling in. We don't need to go with the crazy.
Okay. You want to take another one?
Sure. Let's go to Rob on line six. You there, Rob?
Hey, Rob. What's up?
Hey, how you doing, Ben?
Never been better, boss. How are you?
I'm not doing bad. I understand what you're saying about, you know, there's not enough love in the world as it is, but we got to, you know, take some responsibility for this kid. I mean, he's going to be 18. The child's going to be 18 in 18 years. Sorry.
Wow, he's good at that.
This woman's going to be 80 when this kid graduates from high school. Where is this mother going to be to usher her child into adulthood?
Well, you know, my mom died when she was 90, and I was 45 years old. And when I was born, 1955, my mom was 45, and she was terrified that she wouldn't be able to usher me into adulthood. And so she was 63. She was the age of this woman when I was 18. So there really is a huge difference. And somebody who is good at math could tell you the difference between 45 and 63. But I just don't know. I mean, there's this article here that I was looking at that made me crazy. It's in the medical news today. And you know, I get crazy when people don't even know what they're saying. But it says the chances of one or both parents dying or becoming seriously ill during the first 15 years of a child's life are infinitely greater if the parents are aged 63 to 78 during those 15 years and the parents age 26 to 41.
Infinitely greater.
Infinitely greater.
You know, I'm not that good at math. Does that mean they're dead immediately?
This bothers me because it's the medical news today.
It's not math news today.
That's for sure. And this woman's name who wrote this article, we should really see. It's Christian Nordqvist, Nordqvist. It's at Medical News Today is where it is. MedicalNewsToday.com, I guess. Part of Health News. And we really should write her a note and say, infinitely. We should send her an infinite number of letters. But yes, of course that's the case. And of course the chances are greater, and you always have to play the odds. But also, This woman is successful. She has money that increases life expectancy tremendously. And she has this love for this kid. And we don't know what kind of support group she has. Certainly, the chances of this kid having grandparents to be able to care for him or her when the parents are gone is much, much later. But we don't know what she has for support group. She says she has she's able to afford live-in help to help her with the baby when younger, and she may have a very strong support group of friends and so on, many of them that are younger, that could help the kid like that. Now, the death of a parent, I've had both my parents die, and it was the worst thing that ever happened to me. It destroys you. But that's true no matter how old your parents are. So certainly there's responsibility, but weighing the responsibility against the love seems like something you have to do. But you're worried about the raising of the kid. You're not as worried about the medical complications in carrying the baby to term. Is that right? I guess I went on in that whole rant about infinitely.
He fell asleep and passed out.
he lost interest in the call. You know, this is going to keep happening. You know, we used to, my body seemed very ready to reproduce at 14 or 15. And at 14 and 15, to stop me from reproducing, took an incredible amount of civilization, socialization, and some extruded polymer products for me not to reproduce at that age. It seems like the people that argue that she's too old, if they want to talk about natural, they should be talking about everybody getting pregnant at about 14 or 15.
Or 12.
Yeah, I mean, now. I mean, we have maturity happening there. And so I think that life expectancy is really, really important on this. I think when people were dying, I mean, what is the life expectancy of a human in the wild without technology? It's like 24, right?
Yeah, 23, 24? Your teeth kill you pretty early.
Yeah, your teeth get you. And other people's teeth kill you, too.
Or other people's teeth.
So at 24, you know, you're not the natural thing. If you want to talk, whenever you talk nature, I think, let me just go on record here, it's a very clear statement. I think there's nothing good about nature, okay? Arsenic is natural. HIV is natural. These are all wasps that lay their eggs inside living caterpillars are natural, okay? Falling out of a building is natural. Of course, let's make it a tree. Falling out of a tree is natural. I mean, there is nothing good about nature. So every time the technology and humanity take nature and kick its ass and just say, okay, I'm 63 years old, God damn it, I want a baby, I'm going to do it, and nature's not going to stop me, I think it's a totally groovy thing. I think 63-year-old women having babies is groovy. I think breast implants are terrific. I think that tattoos, body modification, scarification, I think the internet, I think toasters, I think everything is really, really cool.
Jacuzzi in the snow is my favorite.
Jacuzzi in the snow. All of those things. All of those things are terrific. Let's take one more.
You want to go with another call? Let's talk to line four.
I'm in favor of 63-year-old women having breast implants. I'm in favor of everything. Who we got here?
This is Patty on line four.
Hey, Patty, what's up?
Hi, guys. Love your show.
Oh, thanks so much.
My issue is that this should be a non-issue. This woman has the means to have a child. She's 63 years old. I would rather 63-year-olds, 73-year-olds, 53-year-olds have children if they have the means than having to take care of the 18-year-old crackheads who have kids or the people on welfare in America who are having kids irresponsibly. That should be the issue. If you have the means to have a child, you should have that child at any age you feel you should have it at. And I think she's the responsible one, not these 18, 21-year-olds having kids who can't afford it.
To show how incredibly sexist I am, I'm going to ask you a question I didn't ask any of the men that called. Do you have kids?
No, I do not.
No, you didn't? Are you planning on it?
I'm not sure yet.
Not sure. I mean, I ask you this, forgive me, but you know, we're not saying where you are, your last name. How old are you, Patty?
I'm 26.
26. And you're thinking of, if you're going to have kids, are you aiming for that biological clock starting to go wacky at about 35 or so? Is that what you're thinking?
I think about it because it's been ingrained in my head all these years by society.
Sure.
But, Pam,
sure.
I love you. I love your wife. I think that is the smartest thing to do. Have a life first. Have a life, and then have your children in your 40s and 50s.
That's, well, you know, I really... I really had the feeling when I was in my late 40s that I was really sick of thinking about myself and wanted to think about someone else. And I really desperately wanted to have a kid. Before that, I believed it was a socialization that you're kind of supposed to. But when I hit my late 40s, it was just it just felt like an emotional imperative. So maybe, Patty, you'll hit that someday, and maybe technology will help you out. Thanks so much for calling, Patty. We're getting a little break. We'll be back. 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. Yeah, breast implants for 63-year-olds. I am so down with that. I am down with anything that is against nature. That's my stand today. Anti-nature pen.
Free FM. 106.7 WJFK.
Yeah, I forgot the name of the guy who's playing that sax solo, but it's the Mike Jones Enormous Orchestra playing the Penn Jillette theme. You can hear more of that theme at PennRadio.com. It'll zip you right over to Jones Jazz, where you can hear a lot of Mike Jones music. Wonderful, wonderful jazz cat. Piano player, composer, improviser extraordinaire. And don't confuse Mike Jones with the other Mike Jones in Texas, who is a rapper, hip-hop guy who I don't know much about. I can't say good or bad about the Mike Jones, but the Mike Jones that does the theme for this show is white and covered with tattoos and plays piano like a ringing a bell. 866-313-FREE-3733. I got one quick Gmail I want to read, and then I'm going to go right to the phones. He's quoting me as he's quoting, I think, the caller. This is Michael is calling in, writing in here, and he's quoting, I think, the caller. Maybe I said this. I don't remember. It's all a blur to me now. We live in a world with so little love, which I don't agree with. So if I said it, I was wrong. And then he says, keep in mind that we also live in a world with so little natural resources. So really, adoption is the best way to keep the planet going. Love won't be worth much when we're fighting over water. This is a real common point of view, the idea that we have limited resources. I think that the world is not running out of natural resources. Every continent, with the exception of Antarctica, has enough food to and water for all the people on that continent. It's a question of politics. Starvation and shortages are mostly used as political tools, and mostly Africa and so on.
Thanks, Norman Borlaug.
Thanks, Norman Borlaug. And I think that technology can take care of all of that. So I do disagree about that. And there's nothing. This is not a show that's going to talk against adoption. Michael Goudeau, why don't you talk in favor of adoption for a moment?
You know what? I got two adopted kids, and they're pretty good. Thank you. You know, I had dogs and liked my dogs, so I knew that when I got kids, I was going to be really happy.
And I just on the subject of kids, I have always hated dogs.
I know.
And I'm
and
pretty
still
happy.
Like your kid.
I'm pretty happy with my kid. 866-313-FREE.
Imagine how overwhelmed I am. I like dogs. And then the kid came
I don't think the dogs are on the kid continuum.
I know you don't. Many people do.
I don't. Let's take a phone call. Do we have a phone call?
We have a pretty good call on line two. This is Jack. Jack, you there?
Hey.
Hey, Jack. This is Pat. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
How you doing, boss?
Well, you know, I agree with you on a lot of things. Most things, I would say. Yeah, the kids thing. I'm not crazy about kids. I kind of feel the same way about the kids as you do about dogs. I love them.
Uh-huh.
Don't really care for kids. But okay. The thing is, and in terms of this, you know, people using technology to have, you know, women having, you know, getting pregnant at 60 or 70. I think it's, you know, if a couple is older and older people having kids, they have no problem with that. In fact, my dad, I'm middle-aged, my dad, who's about 72, has a girl that's 14 and a son that's 16.
Okay.
So, you know, my half-brother and sister. And it works for them, but the thing is, you know, if somebody is, you know, like, for example, you know, in their late 30s or whatever, 40s, wants to have kids, that's one thing. You know, they're a couple, they're having kids together, but just to use science to impregnate this older broad, just because you can do it does not mean you necessarily should. I don't care how much he really loves kids or wants a kid.
Well, that's an important thing. I misrepresented that. I don't think that she's doing this just because she can or just because science can. I think she's doing this because she desperately wants to have this kid, and so does her husband. And they are a couple. They have been together for a while. They are successful. They do have the means. And are you saying that that she's just too old and there should be a cutoff?
No. I'm saying, for example,
she's like 2 years older than you,
right?
What's that?
It's not her egg, correct?
Right, it's not her egg, no.
Okay, so is the, it's the husband's sperm but not her egg.
Well, it doesn't say whether it's the husband's biological child or not. I haven't found that in any of the articles, but I would assume it is.
So all she really is an incubator. I mean,
that's exactly right.
You know, it just doesn't make sense. And if it's not the husband's sperm, then what would be the difference between that and an adoption?
That's a very, very good point. I mean, the point is, if it is not her egg, if it is a donor egg, then she really is, in a very real sense, adopting after having the bonding experience of carrying the child. But I do know that my wife, and of course this is something that is, I think there are fewer things that are stupider for two men to talk about than carrying a child. But my wife, I think that the bonding process with our daughter really was very important for her to have carried Moxie and to have gone through that pregnancy and to have gone through the birth. That was a very important. Now, as I said, Godot's children are adopted. You didn't have that. That doesn't mean that isn't a good thing. That isn't a real plus. So, yes, it is biologically just an adopted child to her, but maybe the caring is part of the whole process, but maybe men can't really have an opinion on that. But thanks a lot for calling this.
Seems like an interesting experience.
Yep.
Oh, they cut him off?
Okay.
Oh, man, that was my fault. I thought he was done, and he started to say something else. Didn't he have something he said to the screener or something about just because science can do it doesn't mean it should? We could make cyclopses and so on.
Yeah.
He might have been going into that point. And I do want to address that. Yes, I'm not saying that everything done by science is good, but certainly everything done by nature isn't good. And I also want to say, and I think this is important, that no one that's called in has said that there should be a law against a woman's 63 having kids. And that's a really important distinction. I think that you can say all you want, this is a bad idea, don't do it, here's the reason it's stupid. But as long as we remain in cultures, and of course this is Britain, remain in cultures where people have the freedom to do things that you may disagree with, that's the part. And I'm very refreshed that no one has called in and said, let's put a law in that nobody over 55 should be allowed to have children. Do you have any other calls you want to take?
Sure we do. Let's talk to Mark on line 4.
Hey, Mark, what's up, man?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Never been better, boss. How are you doing?
Good. Very good. I just, I just heard you say, which is not why I called in, but you were saying about the fact that we have a choice and we do have these choices. And absolutely, I think that is very, very important that this is more just an opinion and that we're able to make those choices.
Uh-huh.
But to the point of someone being older, one of the things that is nice is that you're in a situation, and I think this is one of the things we overlook, that, and not to say that younger people shouldn't be able to obviously make these choices and are just as good to make them as an older parent. But an older parent is in a situation where, and Penn, I think you brought this up, is that you're already settled, not only maturely, but financially. And having a child and being able to do things with the child, you have a lot more opportunity because you're not as focused on your career. You're not as focused on making more money. You're not as focused on, it becomes a switch like all things do as you go through stages of life. And you're able to give those years and that devotion to a child. And to that point, I think that even though you're older, God forbid you do pass away at an early on time, that maturity, I think, lends itself to a parent being able to certainly already making provisions, not only financially, certainly, like you said, a sister, a brother, a cousin, whatever it is, that all enters into making that decision because you know that time could come where you're not going to obviously outlive your child. In most cases, you don't. Or you don't.
We sure hope you don't. You know, that's it. And that was certainly true for me. You know, my parents, I really felt the whole time I was growing up that they had no problems of their own. I mean, I believe I never heard my mother and father raise their voices to one another in anger. There was never slamming doors and yelling. There was a kind of, they did yell a lot, but only in jest. They yelled when they were joking.
They probably did it when you weren't born at that time because they had their marriage established. They got past the building process.
You know, when I
know each other.
When I was born, they'd been married over 20 years when I was born. And so the problems had really worked themselves out. And I really, it's very, very fashionable. I mean, we were talking to Adam Carolla and so on to talk about how dysfunctional your family was growing up. I have none of that material because my parents, who were older parents, I believe treated me perfectly and raised me perfectly. And reading the statements that this woman who's 63 has made in the press about how much they want to have a kid and how much they're looking forward to it just makes my heart sore. So thanks a lot for calling, man. Thank you so much. 866-313-FREE-3733. Let's play. You know what I'd like to hear? Enough of this people talking. Let's hear some commercials, okay? We'll be back right after this at Free FM. Free to talk about whatever you want, or actually whatever we let you talk about. I think that's Lon Bronson playing the trumpet or the flugelhorn. Probably a flugelhorn. I've forgotten now. That's the Mike Jones enormous orchestra playing the Penn Jillette theme. We're at penradio.com, penradio@gmail.com. 866-313-FREE. A guy wrote in. I don't even know who it is. Didn't even sign it. It says, isn't being against nature kind of like having a war on terror? Yes, it absolutely is. What I was saying, what I said was, I was against nature. I'm backpedaling like crazy. What I really mean is the idea of natural, the word natural being used as a totally good thing, makes me crazy. Of course you can't be against all that's natural, but you know, you can be a little skeptical of things that are, they're natural. There's someone wrote in and said, there is a law against gals 60 plus having kids, as you mentioned, the law of nature. If the technology were available, could she legally carry a koala bear to term? Certainly, Jeff. That's Jeff in Las Vegas. Certainly. If a woman wants to carry a koala bear to term and the technology is there, let her. And who the hell are you to stop her, Jeff? You koala bear hating freakoid.
I don't want my koala getting tattoos, though.
No. No. We had a phone call that was really cool, right?
We do have a great phone call.
Okay, let's take that.
Let's talk to Linda on line 3. Linda, you still there?
Hey, Linda, what's up? This is Penn.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very well, thanks. How are you?
I actually have some personal experience with what you're talking about. And more power to the woman at 63. You had, first of all, I'm getting ready to do an IVF with a donor egg.
Uh-huh.
And so, and I've had one IVF already.
Uh-huh. And how old's your kid?
My son is 8.
8? And I guess because you're behind the woman who's 63, may I ask how old you are, Linda?
I'm 46.
46. Mm-hmm. And so you are thinking of having you're having IVF again. And that puts you, and it's a donor egg, is that right? Is your other child the donor egg?
No, the other one was not.
So, and talk a little bit, because we're mostly guys here who don't know Jack. Tell us a little bit about why you want to carry a donor egg that is essentially biologically adopted, why you want to go through the pain and the danger of carrying a baby to term that is not yours biologically.
Well, we looked into adoption,
mm-hmm.
and adoption, first of all, at 36, I can't even adopt most places.
Uh-huh.
Extremely difficult. But adoption is so intrusive. They were going to require psychological and physical exams for everyone in the family, inspections of the house, down to an inspection of my septic tank.
Mm-hmm.
Now, any 14-year-old in downtown Baltimore, D.C., or any other city can have a baby and get the pay for it. But they're going to put me through hell to adopt a baby that nobody else wants.
That's absolutely true. I have to tell you, it was like a tax audit and a medical exam and a psychological exam. It was very unpleasant, yes.
So, but as far as it being a donor egg, the way I look at it is, if you make a beautiful cake, nobody says, where'd you get the egg? It's not going to be my adopted baby. It's going to be my baby.
I see. Yes, of course. And is it going to be, you do have a husband or a partner in raising this kid?
Yes, my husband will use his sperm.
Oh, you're going to use his sperm. So it'll be his biological. It'll be his biological kid. And now the donor egg. Do you know anything about the biological mother of the egg?
I know it's an anonymous donor.
Uh huh.
I picked one that is very similar to me in hobbies, height. Well, she's a little taller than I am because I'm short. but as far as appearance and background, English-Irish background kind of a thing.
Uh-huh.
One blazing difference, she's gay, but other than that. and she's donating eggs because they use donor sperm for her partner to have a child.
Oh, cool. That is really cool. Now, I want to, this is interesting because, you know, both your kids are adopted,
yes.
You know, and you get told all the time that Joey looks just like you, right?
Yes, I do, yes. Both my children. They look just like me. People say it every day. It's the helmets. I put them in a little helmet shaped like my face every day. They sleep with it. They complain a little bit. Like braces. I'm moving their bone structure.
It looks like you. And it's really true. You know, you see Godot with his kids. You have this just naturally. There's no way you consider that to be not your kids. It just happens instantly. And but Linda, also, now are you just carrying the baby in order to get around the difficult intrusive adoption, or is there also some medical physical kind of joy or challenge that you get? I mean, did you like being pregnant last time?
I didn't mind it. Like it, yeah. It was okay.
Uh-huh.
My mother was an orphan, so I wouldn't mind adopting. I don't
uh-huh.
think that we would feel any different again about adopted children than biologically
uh-huh.
our own. But it was just I couldn't handle the intrusiveness.
Now, but talk about this a little bit. I mean, and Godot, too. I mean, I'm going to interview Godot at the same time here. It is hell to adopt kids. And we have another good friend that's going through it right now.
Yeah.
And the paperwork and the red tape is unbelievable. Do you think that stuff's necessary? Could you make adoption easier? How would you make it easier? Would you have it less intrusive?
I would have it less intrusive. I know that they're trying to make sure that people really want it, and they're trying to weed out bad people, but you have people who get through the procedure and still beat their children to death. There was one up in, I think, New York or New Jersey. And you have biological parents who beat their children to death. And nobody's
uh-huh.
testing these biological parents.
Yeah, that seems to be the universal thing. No one's testing those other people just having regular kids. What are they doing to me? Hey, I'm okay. I'll stop.
So you think
I will love my child. Stop that.
Would you just have adoption take place with no screening at all, or how much screening? I mean, how do you solve this?
I would have some screening, but,
mm-hmm.
okay, there are people who have security clearances.
Uh-huh.
You go through a lot of screening for a security clearance. I think if you go through that much screening, if you're capable of handling your nation's secrets, you should
uh-huh.
be able to have a baby. You should be able to go back to it.
So maybe just,
are you saying you're with the FBI?
Just a background? Well, she is from Baltimore. You can't tell. That's close enough. But you're saying that just making sure they have no criminal record and things like that might be enough? Is that the idea?
Yes, I think so. And if you want to make sure they've got enough money, that's fine. But, you know, you were talking about passing a law. People might want to pass a law to prevent mothers from having children over a certain age.
Mm-hmm.
I would prevent, I mean, you have, it takes more to have a driver's license than a baby.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't at least pass a driver license test, if you can't pass a basic test on how to raise a child, then don't let them have children.
Well,
that's,
yeah, but
I would pass.
But that, whoa. once you say that you're going to have a law passed that stops anybody that is fertile and to be able to have a child, then you have to do forced birth control of everybody until they get an okay to not have that birth control, or you're just going to have to abort every child that is being carried by a woman that doesn't pass your inspection. There's no way that can be a good pro-freedom position.
There is no way that it could be implemented.
Right, okay, good.
Well, perhaps it's being hyperbolic.
I'm not saying that, you know, that we're ever going to have that, but...
Of course, I just want...
any kind of law, then...
Well,
I'm sorry?
I was just going to say thanks so much, and I was hoping for you to talk more about. It's really interesting to me that the major reason you want to carry this child is to get around the intrusiveness. I mean, that is a really a view of privacy, kind of a libertarian purity that I hadn't even imagined. I was expecting to talk a little bit about the joys of pregnancy, but I guess expecting a woman to do that is an insane male fantasy. Is that right?
Well, I mean, I didn't have difficult pregnancies, and I worked all the way through them. So, you know, It wasn't bad, and I kind of enjoyed it probably, but I didn't enjoy it enough to go through it if I could adopt reasonably.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a really cool point of view. Thanks a lot, Linda, for calling. Okay, that's a great call, you know. I mean, it's amazing that the pain of adoption and the kind of bureaucratic stuff you have to go through is so great that you'll go through the pain of a pregnancy and childbirth to get around it. And the people that write in and say, you know, with so many kids that need to be adopted, why don't these people just adopt? I think Linda gave a really great answer. Now, I haven't been through it, so I don't know, but I did have a good friend named Michael Goudeau went through it.
It was pretty intrusive. We did not medically have an option. We tried donor eggs and stuff. It did not work for us. My wife eventually had a hysterectomy due to medical problems. Mm-hmm. That was the option. It was adopt or steal were the options at that point. And we certainly considered both. You know, the adoption process is long and difficult.
How long did it take you?
9 months. Almost 9 months to get our son. Can you believe it?
That's just terrific. That's a terrific amount of time. You want to take one more call? We have time for one more if it's sure. quick. But I want to tell you right now, don't think I'm rude. I may have to cut you off a little bit on this call.
Let's go with line one. Katie, still there?
Hi, Penn. How you doing?
Never better, Katie. How are you?
Good. Big fan, by the way.
Oh, thanks so much.
I am also the child of an older parent, and I found it to be kind of a difficult life. There was always this humongous generation gap, and now that I have children, you know, I see like my friends who have kids, and their moms are always there for them to help them and all kinds of stuff. My mom could never do that for me, and now she's 77 and she's sick, and all my children will ever remember of her is being a sick old woman, and I find that to be sad, and I kind of think in a way it's selfish. I mean, not that I think there should be any laws against it, because, you know, like you said, it is all about love. But how much money is it going to take and how much love is going to be lost when that child is probably 18, 19, 20 and his mother is gone and his father is gone?
How old was your mom when you were born?
My mother was 43 when I was born.
Okay, so even younger than my mom. And you just felt that, was she not healthy when you were growing up? You said she's not healthy now. Was she not healthy then, too?
She was healthy then, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but you just felt that you didn't have... Run by the problems again?
Well, you know, I mean, there was just like this humongous generation gap, and also they were foreigners, so that probably put into it somewhat. But, you know, like, my mother is how old when I'm graduating high school, and, you know, I just kind of felt weird about it. And like I said, my friend's parents, you know, they're always able to babysit and do things like that and enjoy their grandchildren. My mother can't really do that.
Uh-huh.
And I think that if someone's 63 and going to have a baby, you know, that kid's going to be 14 when you know, their mother is the same age as my mother is now. I think it's a little bit selfish.
Well, there's no doubt about it that, you know, being 51 when my daughter Moxie was born, my chances of enjoying being a grandparent go down by an infinite amount. They go down quite a bit, and that is a kind of sadness. But, you know, there's always trade-offs, and I think that it's very important for somebody, for someone who is considering having a baby older, to listen to people like you that had a different experience than me, because, you know, it may have to do.
You know, we don't have a lot of people calling in whose parents didn't have them. I think that's an issue we definitely need to bring up. Rotten older parents hadn't had you. Well, you might not be calling the radio show.
Well, thank you so much for calling. You know, that's the thing. You know, it all comes down to individuals. You know, my mom and dad, you know, my sister's 23 years older than me, and my mom and dad were very young when they had her. They were very young. My mom was like, you know, 19 or something. And you could probably do the math, but I'm not able to right now. My sister also had great parents. So maybe the individual is more important than the age. After all this battling through
We think that individual people, individual people may be more important than the separate one. But best of luck from me and Free FM. Best of luck to Patricia over in England that's having a baby. Might be fun to have a kid that I can kick around, a little me to fill up with my thoughts, as Lou Reed said. It's the beginning of a great adventure. Peace out.
Free FM 106.7 WJFK.